What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Afros in the Diaspora. And today we have our guest all the way from Nigeria. Her name is Ebun. Ebun, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, of course. How are you doing? Are you ready? Are you ready to dive into?
I'm good. Okay. I'm ready. I've been waiting for this. I've been pretty excited for it.
Amazing. Okay, so as you know, we are going to start with our trivia. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Did you go back? Did you go back to your social studies textbook?
Yeah, I've been in Nigeria since I left when I was a baby, but I think I know a thing or two. So we'll try.
We'll try. All right, I'll start easy on you. Okay, easy. What is the name of the current president of Nigeria?
Tinubu.
What's his full name?
I don't even know. Something Tinubu.
Something Tinubu. That's
something
crazy.
I even got it.
His name is. Yeah, I'll give you a full point because his name is Tinubu, but it's Bola Ahmed Tinubu. B-A-T.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. What is our currency? What's the current currency of Nigeria?
Naira.
Okay. Sing the first line of the new Nigerian anthem.
New? What's that, Nigeria? We healthy.
That's the new one. That's it.
Is that the new one?
Yeah.
I think it's about healthy. Oh.
No, that's
okay,
it.
Nigeria.
As far as I know, that is it. That's okay. The old one is Arise, O Compatriots.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you got it. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. We're going to go into some tougher questions, but I know you got this.
Okay.
I know you got this. So I'm going to ask you who is on the 20 Naira notes.
I don't know.
When last did you see a Naira note?
Girl. I think when my uncle came to visit like 3 years ago, a couple years ago.
Okay.
I haven't seen the note since then.
Okay. So on the 20 Naira note is Murtala Mohammed, General Murtala Mohammed. Do you know your states and capitals?
I know we have 36 states.
Okay. That's the first step.
You can try to test me on some of them.
What's your state? Where are you from?
Lagos.
Lagos. Okay. What's the capital of Lagos State?
Lagos.
Lagos State.
Lagos State. Oh.
Yeah, like you know, it's states and capital.
Oh, our capital is Abuja.
No.
Of Lagos.
Abuja, oh, capital, okay.
Of Nigeria.
Yeah, the capital of Nigeria is FCT. But for the state of Lagos, you want to try again for the capital of the Lagos state? Ikeja.
No, it's losing me.
It's okay. Sorry? Ikeja.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh. Oops.
Mm-hmm. Oops. You said oops.
No, I should know that. So I was pointing.
That's crazy. Okay, cool. I'll ask you another. I'll ask you ones that you probably, you know, may have some idea of, because I know you've been away for quite a while. Okay, there are three main religions in Nigeria. What are they?
Islam, Christianity, Pentecostal. Mm-hmm. I would say. Mm-hmm. And the third one, what would be the third one? Islam?
You got the first two.
Can I divide into Islam? Is it divided into two?
No.
I know there's like.
No. Islam is its own thing. Christianity is its own thing. And then there's one other one. The one that was there. Some would say before. Some would say before Christianity came, before Islam came. The one that was there.
You gotta tell me.
That's a traditional worship. People that worship Ogun, Shango, Amadioha. Yeah, that's traditional worship. Yeah, so that's like the third one.
That's not White Gamma, is it? No.
No.
White Gamma is different. Okay.
I think White Gamma is supposed. I think white government is supposed to be a branch of Christianity.
I think it's a branch of Christianity, except they just, it's something different.
Yeah.
No, I don't know the other one.
Okay. I'm just telling you, the third one is traditional worship.
Oh, that's what it's called.
Yeah. Traditional worship, like indigenous, like gods, because there's so many of them. Yeah. So that's...
There's not a specific name for, like, worshiping,
like traditional, God, like deities?
God River. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just in just traditional worship. Oh.
Yeah, it's just like that. I think that's a general name because like there's so many. Every single state and culture has its own pantheon of gods. So like.
Oh, okay. But for the deities, it's just.
Yeah, it's just like tragic. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, you got 2 over 3. So that's pretty good.
She's like, I don't know, Ryan. She knows that one.
Who won the last African Cup of Nations?
Oh, this is South Africa. Of Nations. Am I thinking?
AFCON.
The one that
AFCON, just happened. Yeah.
South Who Africa?
Won? No, not South Africa.
South Africa didn't win? Oh, good.
No. Or, okay, what position did Nigeria come in that, you know, tournament?
Oh. We didn't even win. We came second.
Who beat us
again? It wasn't South Africa.
It was Ivory Coast.
Ivory Coast. I remember all the Africans were happy we lost.
Yeah.
So yeah. South Africa had a lot of mouths. So that's why I remember that.
Yeah. Because like
Nigeria was second. Yeah.
It was the game between Nigeria and South Africa. I think that was like semifinals or something. And
the two countries
went at it on Twitter and on the internet. Man, they're like,
it was battle.
If Nigeria wins, we will take Twyla and we will take Amapiano. Like. And then it was like that.
They were angry at us that day.
Yeah, they were not happy with us at all. But yeah, at least we came second, unlike Ghana, unlike South Africa. You know, not throwing shade, but
throw all the shade. We came second.
Awesome. Okay, thank you for this. We're gonna move on to the riddles. Are you ready?
Riddles? Oh,
yeah.
We had riddles. Yikes. Okay. Not that great at it, but let's see.
All right. The first riddle. I have branches, but no fruit, trunks, or leaves. What am I?
Branches, but you gotta tell me. I've heard this one before. Oh, it's gonna annoy me.
I feel like there could be a couple of answers for this one.
Branches, no fruit, no trunks, no leaves.
No leaves.
I have branches.
Bank.
I don't know. A what?
A bank.
Girl! There should be like branches of shops, but I was like, I don't know what she
means. That's why I said there could be a few answers because you know, like churches also have branches, Redeemed Christian Church of God has branches all over the place, like some mosques have branches.
I'm not gonna double this myself any next time. I don't know why I thought it was working.
See, like these rules are they are so like don't even think too much. Damn. They're corny. I'll be the first to admit that the riddles are corny. The first, so don't worry yourself at all. Okay, our next one. What 5 words become shorter when you add 2 letters to it?
Words become shorter.
Yeah.
When you add 2 letters to it?
Yeah, like 2 alphabets.
Words, not like letters.
What word becomes shorter when you add 2 letters to it?
I don't know.
The word short.
Oh. That's such a dad joke.
It took everything for me to not love.
I was trying to say every word. I was like, what word does subtract? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no, like the word shorter. The word short becomes shorter when you add 2 letters. Funny. It's ridiculous.
That's
but
such a dad joke.
It is totally. Okay.
I've been using this on my dad.
Yeah. You have my permission. Okay, I got 2 more questions for you. Okay, I have cities but no houses. I have mountains but no trees. I have water but no fish. What am I? Do you want me to give you the answer?
I don't know.
It's a map.
I don't know the answer.
It's a map.
Oh.
It's ridiculous,
but nothing that quick.
Yeah.
That makes complete sense.
Okay.
Damn. Final one. I'm like 0 for 3 right now.
See, that's usually how it is with the riddles. Because, like, people are, so intellectual with it. They're like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But I promise you. You know what's funny? If the tables were turned, I will not get a single one.
That makes it feel better. That makes it feel better.
It's all good. Okay, final one. What is always coming but never arrives?
What is always coming but never arrives? I've heard this one. Oh, I've heard this one. What is coming but never arrives?
It's not a tangible thing. It's almost like a day. Like this day. I'm trying to give you hints. Yeah.
Girl, I'm not gonna try. What is it?
Tomorrow
comes.
No, but then there's another tomorrow and another one. Yeah. Tomorrow. Oh! Never, yeah.
Girl. 0 for 4. I would never guess that.
Tomorrow never arrives.
I'm stealing all these.
You can have them. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for engaging with me in this, the trivia, the icebreakers. But let's get into our topic. And today we're just talking about your story, your immigration story. You're now based in Canada, but you were born originally in Nigeria. So would you mind just taking us on that journey of how you came to be living here?
Yeah. So kind of just beginning, I grew up, or I was born in Lagos, Nigeria, with my parents, my little brother. I have 3 siblings in total, but it was just my brother and I. And then we left Nigeria when I was 4. So we left in 2001-ish. And then we came to the US, which wasn't the greatest choice then, because we came pretty close, right after 9/11. So it was pretty difficult for us. Just getting through the immigration situation, and some things happened, and we basically became stuck in the U.S. without citizenship. So we lived there. I grew up in Baltimore, Maryland, from when I was 4 to when I was about almost 16. And then on one Christmas day, our parents told my siblings that we were actually illegal citizens in the U.S. and we had to move to Canada in 3 months, and we couldn't tell anybody until that day. So that was pretty crazy. And before that, we actually hadn't, my brother and I didn't know we weren't U.S. citizens. My little sister was, because she was born in the U.S.
Yeah.
But we didn't know the entire time. So my parents decided to tell us because we were getting older. You know, I was going into high school. I think it was my first year of high school. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was talking about getting a car, going mm-hmm. to university, and you couldn't do any of that without a social security number, which mm-hmm. we didn't have. So then we moved to Canada in 2011, 2012. During that time, Obama had a agreement with Canada, and I don't know exactly what it is, so don't quote me, but they had an agreement with Canada that people that were illegal in the U.S. could move to Canada under some circumstances. So we actually left in the last year of the program. I think the program was 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then we left and came to Edmonton, Alberta. And funny enough, Edmonton was supposed to be just our stop because we had some family here. And then we're going to go to Toronto, which is where my dad wants to go. And then we kind of stayed in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to Calgary for university in 2014, and then I've been here ever since.
Thank you for sharing. So, wow, what a story.
It's a lot.
What a story. So y'all, the kids, y'all did not know that. Were there any signs? Were there any signs?
Signs. Mm-hmm. There were signs. I think for me, because I was the oldest, there were signs, but I just thought we were broke because we kind of grew up, we grew up poor. Mm-hmm. Not poor, but I knew we grew up a little bit lower class. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't until, you know, we moved and my dad would tell us a story that, you know, yeah, we were in the poverty line, but because we weren't citizens, we couldn't get food stamps or really any government assistance. So, I think I knew just from certain things and avoiding police, my dad, making a big deal of my dad never being pulled over by police because we didn't want to be in that situation. Mm-hmm. I remember one thing that I'm like, this should have tuned me in, but I don't think you realize when you're younger.
Yeah.
I remember when we lived in Baltimore, it was winter. And I remember one time my brother used to have a PlayStation that my parents would only let us play on the weekends. We couldn't play on the weekdays, only mm-hmm. on the weekends. So I think during that time we hadn't played for a little bit. And there was one time we came home and we noticed the window open. And my mom said that she remembers that was weird because it was winter. and you could see like the snow on the little windshield.
Yeah.
So she's like, okay, whatever. And it wasn't until like 2 weeks later that we realized that our PlayStation had been stolen. So somebody come into our house through a window and stolen it. And during that time, our neighborhood had a lot of thefts going on. But unfortunately, we were like one of the only families that could have reported in our neighborhood because we couldn't go to the police about it. So there goes our brother's PlayStation. And I just never clued. I don't know why. I wasn't like, you know, why are we going to the police? Because other people in the neighborhood are going to police.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I was like, I didn't play PlayStation. So I was like, hey.
You're like, it's not my business.
It's not my business. But it was certainly our business. Yeah, so like little things like that should have tuned us in. But we had a good community and good family friends that really helped us. That we're still friends with to this day. So
That's awesome. Kind of made it through. Yeah, like community is always important. Shout out to your parents, man, because wanting,
and they were only probably a few years older than me when they went through the situation, and I'm like, I can barely get through the day. Yeah. I don't know how they did that with three kids.
Exactly.
Moved to whole continents and and I kept it all a secret and still kept us fed and happy and healthy
and like, safe. Good. Yeah, shout out to them. 100%. Shout out, mom and dad. Everyone's mom and dad. I'm spraying you money right now. This is it.
So many people used to tell my parents, you know, like the easiest way to get the situation was just to break up and marry citizens. And they were told that repeatedly. Wow. And really, it wasn't like, you know, mean advice. It was kind of just to help them out.
Yeah.
And they really stayed together through it all. They made a way. And now we've been doing well in Canada.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Shout out to Ebon's mom and dad. This is a special shout out.
Shout out, mom and dad.
We are spraying you money. We are sending you hugs and kisses. You. This is awesome. Like, because I can only, like, it's hard enough for people that come legally to even find a job, right? Find a way to be able to raise your kids, like, build community, make sure your kids don't feel less than or, you know, isolated or, you know, all that stuff. But having to do it while also kind of keeping your head, you know, and being safe within the family that's shout out to your parents. That's hard.
Shout out to them.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So,
a lot to get us here.
Yeah. Okay. So like, y'all moved here 2012, 2013. So what was that transition like from Baltimore to Calgary or Edmonton?
It was a lot. It was a lot. And I think because I was getting older too, it was such a pivotal point in my life when we moved. Like, you know, I think I was supposed to be 16. So that's a pretty significant age. Yeah, when you kind of like lose all your friends and family and everything.
Yeah, you're like, yeah.
Yeah, the transition was really difficult. Well, I think it's pretty difficult. I now looking back on it, I was like, oh, you know, it wasn't that bad. And honestly, Canada was the difference between moving to the U.S. and moving to Canada, as my parents say, was like night and day. Like, they said that once we came from Nigeria to the U.S., they had my parents for like 12 hours just grilling them, asking them questions with like two small kids, did not let them leave the airport, grill them. Mm-hmm. And then when we went to Canada, it was like an hour and then we were out. So that was the only thing that was like, oh, wow, this is very, very different.
Yeah.
But definitely the way people talk was very different. We always used to joke with my family that people talk very sing-songy when we first moved to Canada, which is, I think now, I guess I talk sing-songy, so I'm definitely close to that.
Wait, you can't. Hold on, you can't just breeze past the sing songiness. You have to sing songy talk for us. Like,
you don't hear it?
I mean,
like,
I,
when they talk, it's just flows.
Like the inflections of like.
Like the inflection, I think. Like, you never. We always used to joke that we never used to know when the sentence would end.
Yeah.
We would talk about Canadian.
You relate to it.
Like, up?
Yes. That's what I was just about to say, because it's like, let me ask a question now. So, I don't know if like they went there or like it's just I had a great day.
Like, it's like
the
I
weather.
Ask me a question, are you talking to me?
It's like yeah, totally. I get it.
Literally,
sing songy. That's hilarious. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, so that was one difference. One big difference, which is so dumb, think about it, was shoes in the house. Because in the U.S., like, you don't take off your shoes at the door. Like, it was just something we never did. I mean, you have something to clean your shoes when you walk in. Mm-hmm. And let's say if it's, like, super rainy or your shoes get drenched, of course you wouldn't walk that through the house. Mm-hmm. But it was never a big deal, like putting on your shoes in your room and then coming downstairs. And then with Canada, where you like found it was like a mortal sin to wear your shoes in the house. So that was a big difference as well. Okay. Our aunt and uncle actually told us, like, make sure you take off your shoes and go to somebody's house to be respectful.
Yeah. Yeah.
We never thought it was a big deal. Definitely the lack of, the lack of black people was mm-hmm. crazy. Mm-hmm. It was crazy yeah. the first time I came. Yeah. To be fair, like Baltimore has a big black community. It's very diverse. It has a big black community. At least I grew up in a big black community mm-hmm. And a Nigerian church since I was a kid. So mm-hmm. I think coming here and not seeing that type of community when I first started, like now it's been 10 years yeah. in Alberta and like there's so many Africans more. Of all nationalities yeah. here now.
Yeah.
But it really wasn't that at all. So that was a big difference for me because I kind of mm-hmm. just grown up around that. Mm-hmm. Everything was very different to me. I remember the first year we moved, I lost 20 pounds, just dropped it from stress. And I was like, I was stressed, I don't know how stressed my parents are. So I think it was a big change in 6 months.
Yeah. Oh my days.
So that was a big change. Yeah, it was. And I remember when we first came for the first couple months, we stayed with my aunt and uncle, and they only had they had a 2-bedroom at the time. So it's them and then the kids. So I mean, it was a 3-bedroom, but I just remember it was me and my brother and my sister kind of sharing a mattress in the living room of their apartment for like a couple months when we first came there. And honestly, they were a big help. So a lot of these were very, very different to us. And it was definitely an upheaval because I had a lot of friends and family, and I still do, that I still keep in contact with in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. But it was a big change. But I think it really made me who I am. I think going through something like that very young was pretty important to my development. So, no regrets.
I mean, it has to be. Like, that's character development. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's character development.
Nobody
right
can
there.
Bother me no more. I've been through it.
You're like, you know, like, it's like water off a duck's back. I got this, you know, I mean, like, and life can just be that way where there's some big events that just prepare you sort of. Right. Because life, like that's what it is. But like, you know, there's some things that just happen that you're like,
for my parents too, as well. Like, exactly. I understood them from a younger age that, you know, like your teenage angsty years, I really saw what they went through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of things were out of their hands and they try their best. So,
And just like trying to make the best out of the situation too, to make sure that, I'm not a parent yet, but I like, sometimes when I hear about like the sacrifices that parents have made or have to make to just make sure their kids are okay, like, you know what I mean? And just like knowing mm-hmm. the right time to pass on certain information and knowing how to relate and keep the family safe to make sure no one is like, I'm doing it in a whole other country without crazy. Like the support you would have if you're back home.
Without no family, no friends. I mean, there were so many things. They couldn't go back to Nigeria. When we're in the U.S. the entire time. So they went back, we wouldn't be able to come back in.
Yeah,
so totally. My dad's sister passed, my dad's mother passed, couldn't go back for the funerals. We had friends and family that passed. Yeah, so could never go back. And they actually went back to Nigeria for the first time. I think it was healthy a little bit before the pandemic or 2021. That was the first time going back since we left in 2001.
Wow.
So for them, they got to see all their friends and family, and for them it was a big shocker. So they sacrificed a lot, truly.
Oh, that's awesome. So like, have you been back to Nigeria?
No, I still have not been back. When we came to Canada, of course it took us a while to get our citizenship. We got our citizenship, I think, 3 years, 4 years in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got it right before I turned 18. Thank God. I didn't have to deal with all that process that you guys, it's a lot. It's mm-hmm. a lot. So
yeah.
So we got it then, and then I started university. Mm-hmm. So I was in university, so obviously I have no money to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to go back, I planned to go back, and then COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got engaged next year, then I got married the next year, mm-hmm. and then it's now. So
now
this year, and then things came up. So maybe next year.
Would you be going with your husband as well?
I will have to, because I know my family will fight me if I don't bring him. So I already know that endeavor into the airport, it's going to be problems. I know all my aunts and uncles are still asking me to come back. I still have a lot of family there. So hopefully, fingers crossed, 2025.
Yeah, make it happen. Make it happen. Take lots of photos and videos.
I have a whole document.
Yeah, totally. So what about Baltimore? Have you been back there?
I actually just went back 2 months ago. A month ago. I'd been back, I think maybe a couple years after I left, but then since then I hadn't been back. So I went this past May, and I hadn't been back in like 8 years since I left. So it was so nice to see everybody. I got to see like my old church. I went to see my old house. I just wanted to knock and be like, I know this is creepy, but can I walk in? I wanted to so badly. So I just took pictures outside. Yeah. And I went back with my husband. So it was nice to bring him. I got to see some old friends. And it was really, really lovely.
Oh, that's awesome. So, like, have you been able to have that conversation with your parents just to ask them what it was like for them all those years?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, living, trying to stay together despite advice to split. You know what I mean? Like, trying to push forward. Like, I bet things were hard, like you talked about, like, how they navigated that and what. Now that, you know, the secret, the cat's out of the bag and, you know... As their child, that, you know, the family was there illegally. Have you been able to just check in with them and be like, because I bet they have stories to tell. Do you know what I mean? Like, what that process was like for them?
Yes. Yeah, we definitely have. I had a lot of conversations with them. I'm pretty open with my parents. So they've had a lot of conversations with me. They told me how difficult it was. They really called that their, like, trial. My dad always said that he felt like, honestly, he said I felt like it was like 10 years of slavery, because it was just very, very difficult. And, you know, he couldn't really share it with his kids, and just dealing with like the stress of that. They were working jobs, and they were getting paid under the table at their jobs. So they were getting paid like 70% less than their colleagues were. I think my dad, he said that his job, and the difficult thing was when they came to the US, they had come from a job my dad was offered. Mm-hmm. And then when they came, I guess 9/11 kind of messed up some things. So the company actually just pulled out. It was a Nigerian company, but they were in the US. So they just pulled out and basically just left him stranded there. So
with his
on
family?
Top of that, he couldn't. Yeah. So, and to be fair, I think there was a certain time we were supposed to go. My dad left at an earlier time. So they sold everything they had in Nigeria and left, I think maybe a little bit earlier than they were supposed to. And then they pulled out, they were left there. And because of that, my dad couldn't get like just a McDonald's job. Because he had it that when he first came in, he was supposed to come under a specialized visa for, I think it was IT or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it was really hard to get a job because he wasn't allowed to just apply for any type of job. Mm-hmm. So I think he ended up working at Comcast. Mm-hmm. Comcast. It was a cable company in the US. I don't know if it's still running right now. I think it was getting paid something like $8 an hour. That's with like three kids, a house. Then my mother was working at the time. She was doing a hair salon. She kind of co-owned a hair braiding salon, in downtown Baltimore with her friend, that eventually became hers. She did that. She did catering. She did babysitting. She did all that at the same time, while taking care of us and just trying to manage for us. So, and we also had people living with us too in that house as well. So it was a lot. They went through a lot. And they said that when they came to Canada, they weren't going to go, but it was actually their friends that were pushing them and just said, you know, it's just might as well take a chance. This is the last year. And we did that. We had like our church at the time raises money because you had to have a certain amount to be able to apply. They had to see a certain amount. So we didn't have that amount. So we had to raise that money and then get everything we needed together and just and move us. And I legit remember the day at the airport when we left Baltimore, because my best friend was there. She had come. Her parents had let her come with her. Our pastor was there, which was like my parents' besties, and like some family were there. And I just remember that moment of like crying and holding them. And that was like when we moved. So, they went through a lot, but they're really grateful for how everything happened. And now they're doing awesome in Canada.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for sharing. Shout out again to your parents.
I didn't mean to make you that sad, girl.
Yeah, no. Of course, girl, please. Like, we know you're good. You know,
it's a lot.
It's a lot to go through, you know, especially when it's out of your hands. You know what I mean? Like when you really truly do not have control over the issue or over whatever the situation, and knowing that maybe going back to Nigeria is also maybe not the best option because like, what are you going back to? You know what I mean? Oh my days. Okay.
And I remember during that time, because I couldn't tell any of my friends, I wasn't allowed to tell them that we were leaving or I wasn't allowed to tell them we were leaving until I think like a month before that my parents let me tell like two friends. So I think it was only two of them that I told them the reason why I was leaving. Mm. Everybody else, and my friends did me a goodbye party. So it was like 20 kids that said goodbye to me. And nobody knew I was moving. They were just like, you're going to Canada?
Yeah.
And a lot of them were like, can you say hi to Justin Bieber or do it for me? Or like take a picture of an igloo or something. Like, wow. I had no clue about Canada. And that's the thing with the American education system. We had no clue about Canada at mm-hmm. all until we were going mm-hmm. to. I just knew I had an aunt and uncle there because they'd come to visit us from Baltimore a few times. But mm-hmm. I wouldn't know anything about Canada. So it was only two friends I got to tell them like, oh, I'm moving because we're actually not citizens. Yeah. And so.
Yeah. it was a lot. So like I guess this is a question for how did you when you were living with your parents and now in your new home, how do you feel like you carry your roots, like your Nigerian culture, how do you feel like you've been able to carry that, you know, from your upbringing and all that to where you are now, whether it's through the music, the food, the culture, whatever, like would you mind sharing that? Or because there's some people that are like, you know what? I'm kind of in the middle where we like, you know? So like, yeah, I'm really curious about what your journey is.
You know, I think I made it a priority. So when we moved to the US, or when we moved to Canada, like 2011, 2012-ish, I was only like, you know, with my parents and family for 2 years before I came to Calgary. So I was mm-hmm. in a new city by myself. I didn't have any friends or family here. I think I had one friend, but I didn't have any family here. So I was very important that like I kept that so I felt connected. So I think through food a lot, my mom would always cook me food to send back, always bring me food. And I was cooking a lot of food, cooking stew and everything at home. Mm. Even in my new house, I still cook food. I'll send my husband to go get me a goosey. Just be like, I'm missing home. he go give me a goosey. Yeah. So now he already knows the drill. A lot of my friends, honestly, my friends are a big source. When I came to university, I think the second year I met a good group of friends. So like 90% of my friends are all Nigerians. So I kind of can't escape it. We're all Nigerians, which is good. So I really keep it alive with them, especially music, of course. So yeah, music, food, family. I still have family all over, which is awesome. So I feel like I still have Nigerian culture no matter where I go. If I go to the U.S., I have family in different states of the U.S., in Canada, everywhere I go. So, and the only thing that I feel bad about is I used to be able to understand Yoruba very, very well. I couldn't speak it, but out of all my siblings, I was the only one that could understand it. And now I understand it way less because, you know, you're not immersed in it. You're not at home all the time.
Yeah.
But I think I noticed when I go back, like I was in the UK last year with some family. And when I was there the entire time, I was always speaking it. So I was like, okay, maybe I just need to be completely immersed into it.
Yeah.
But obviously when I'm at home, I don't have anybody to speak to or talk to about it. So that part's been a little bit lost, but everything else I think has kind of stayed the same. And I think it's been really, really nice.
That's awesome. I feel like
I don't feel any lack of my culture, I would say.
That's great. Because, like, some people move here and they're like, nah, I'm Canadian now. I was born here. You know, like, you know, there are people that literally, people will fabricate an entire history, man, to say, oh, no, I'm so American.
It's the opposite. You know? Yeah. I was holding on to, I didn't want to be Canadian. Hey, I didn't want to be Canadian by 5x4s. So I was holding on to it. I'm not even legally American. I was like, I'm an American when I came here. Well, I'm Nigerian, not Canadian.
Yeah.
I had to admit at some point, no, you're Canadian as well. So I can say I'm all three.
Yeah.
But it's definitely very, very proud to be as proud as I can be with Canada's history, proud to be Canadian and the kind of opportunities it's brought.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a Nigerian living in Canada. That's how I say it. I'm a Nigerian based in Canada.
Based in Canada.
But like you said, I'm Nigerian. I'm not. That's not going anywhere. I'm holding on, you know, tight to it. And you know, living here, like it's bound to happen where you kind of lose some parts of what that is, whether it's language or you know one thing or the other. I remember when I first moved here, and in Nigeria, like you cannot give an elder something with your left hand. You can't give or collect, you know, certain things like that. Like, and I remember once I was holding something in my right hand, so I could not. And so I just gave my professor like the paper or whatever with my left hand. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like,
I know you felt sick.
Yeah. And the guy's like, what? What do you mean? You just gave me, like, what are you referring to? I'm like, I just gave it to you in my left hand. And he's like, and? What do you mean? I was like, oh, okay. Never mind. I guess it's fine. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Like, I've had so many moments like that where it's like, that's the upbringing. So I dare not.
Or calling them by their first name.
Okay.
I hate it.
It used to choke me. I hate it.
Even my in-laws, my parents-in-laws only want to be called by their first name. and it used to kill me. And you know, like, their culture, like, my husband sometimes will call his parents by their first name, and I just look at him like, oh, that's and crazy.
Your husband is white, right? Let's lay out the context. White Canadian. Right, so, that's the culture for them, right? Like, that's theirs. Culture. So it's so interesting, like, the difference in cultures, like, in different societies too. Like, because
I remember my mother-in-law, she had a conversation. She was like, "You can't call me that. You can call me my first name." And I was like, "Please, don't make me." I was trying to say, like, not in front of my own parents. They don't want that. She was like, "No, no, your parents." It was a lot. So I had a conversation with my parents and said that this is what she wants to be called. I beg, don't come and fight me. She told me to call her this.
What do you mean? Like, even in school here in the university, the professors, you see doctors, like, in Nigeria, if someone Doctor says, first name. Like, they've done their PhD, post-PhD, like, they've gone to school, you know what I mean? And they're just like, oh, no, just call me Bruce. In Nigeria, I pray, say, after spending 20 years, after spending 20 years in the university, you're telling me you can't call my friend, if you don't call me Dr. Mister.
I'm telling you, if I earn the accolades, I need doctor in front of it.
You must.
I need everything.
You must.
Even my husband, I said that all that first name thing, it stops here. My child will not be calling me my first name, my bad.
Yeah. Exactly.
I know some people don't care, but for me.
Me, I care. I care. And it's just so interesting, like, the understanding of respect in those different cultures, how, like, in our culture, it's like, eh? But in, like, you know, like, your husband's culture, white Canadian culture, or white culture, period, it's like, oh, culture, no, mister.
Nothing's ever that deep to them.
Yeah, it's just it. Like, that's your name, isn't it?
Even mister is optional to them.
Never, ever. But, yeah, no, it's just one of those things where like, yeah, you are readjusting, you are constantly, like, trying to adjust and fit in and blah, 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 but. Oh my days, Ebon, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your story and, like, you know, sharing about your experience. I really appreciate it, because I think a lot of people feel like, oh yeah, you know, when you move, yeah, all is dandy. Like, there's a tree that money comes out of.
Yep.
Just go and pluck money and you have made money. Like,
I'm telling you, they think you can't. When you move here, you made it.
Yeah, just
they don't know the first couple years was Indomie and us, like this.
Indomie, like, the Gary that you're soaking back
the
home.
Gary, you were soaking, yeah. You think I can send you iPhone?
Yeah. You will soak that Gary in your new country.
Even ground that we couldn't find here.
It's not ground.
We were suffering. Like,
no.
Girl, I know.
You know, like,
it's so different.
Yeah, the grind is the grind.
Years, like, they think, like, I think a lot of people, I don't really, besides my friends, a lot of people don't know, like, just in general, like, kind of my story, especially because I've been here for a while.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you're Calgarian. I'm like, girl, I don't know how to tell you how I got here. It's a story.
It's a story. Like, and it is, because, like, people just expect, like, oh, you're abroad. Obviously, you're good. Like, you know, there's such a dismissal of, or just, I don't know if, I don't want to even call it ignorance. But it's just like, there's just the belief that, oh, you're abroad, you've made it, or it's in the process.
We're still making it.
We're trying. And we must make it in Jesus' name.
We must make it.
Awesome. So before we round up the our chat today, would you mind sharing a word of advice or a word of wisdom with us?
Sure. Oh, word of wisdom. I saw this other thing that I should have thought of one. I'm going to say, don't let anybody put you in a box.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, even if you go through a lot of situations and you meet a lot of different people, a lot of different versions of yourself meet those people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you go back to them, or, you know, just in general, when you're trying to, I don't know, achieve something, create something for yourself, a lot of people put you in those kind of boxes of who you were, what they remember you as. Mm-hmm. And just don't let them. Like, you can change yourself at any time. It doesn't take a big move. It does not take a big move at all. You can definitely change yourself. And really, I would say, like, self-branding. I'm a marketing girl, so I always say, like, self-branding is very important. Knowing who you are and knowing, like, the things you like, the things you don't like, and sticking with them and not letting anybody put you in a box.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Don't let anybody put you in a box. Yes, thank you for that word of wisdom. Before you leave, would you mind just like sharing your social media with us? If you have a business, sharing that with us. If you have a hustle, let us know about it so we can patronize your business.
A hustle, of course. Yeah. So, my social media, my personal social media, I have an Instagram, just Eboon with 3 U's. I also have a TikTok, the same name. So you can follow me on those ones. For my personal one, I do a marketing. I have a marketing business as well called Woonmi Marketing, named after my middle name. So I take contracting, freelancing clients for different aspects of marketing all over. And I'm throwing my first ever Woonmi Marketing event, September 1st. Okay. It is a speed dating event. Because I don't want to hear when winter comes, everybody saying, where's my cuddle buddy? Where's my boo? I don't want to hear it again. Again, I'm giving you guys platform. So September 1st, there is a YYC speed dating event hosted by Woonmi Marketing. And there'll be some more promotions going out. But I want to invite everybody. There's only 40 spots, so it's very limited. And okay. I've been wanting to do it. I've had this idea literally since I've been in university when we first started dating and, you know, just see the difficulties of dating, especially dating as a Black woman.
Yep.
And I've had it in my mind to do literally for 10 years now, and I'm finally doing it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so where can people get tickets? Like, how can people get to the event?
On Eventbrite, if you look up Organizer Woonmi Marketing, that'll be the first event there, YYC Speed Dating Event. So you can go on there, buy tickets. Tickets are very cheap, and I would love to see you guys there.
Yeah. Does Woonmi Marketing have a social media platform as well?
Yes, the Instagram. Sorry, I'm bringing it up. Yes, I have an Instagram for Woonmi Marketing. It's woonmi.marketing. Very, very simple. And also my personal Instagram, in the bio, it has those direct links. So you can follow me there. If you need any help with your business, branding, copywriting, social media, please send me a message. And I'll be posting more promotions and information for the YYC Speed Dating event there soon.
Amazing. So I will also include it in the show notes so that people have access to it. But yes, if you are in Calgary, Canada, and you are single, if you are single and
if
ready
you're
serious,
to mingle, I'm ready to be. Come on, if you want to meet 5 babes, 5 men, it's okay. I'm just coming here to facilitate.
Please, not just fun. You know, beauty is fading, but not character. We are looking for people with integrity. We are looking
don't worry,
for
people with integrity. People with sense. I got y'all. People with got y'all. With, make sure.
Yes, make sure their bank account also has integrity.
That's first thing, babe. That's first thing in this life. Don't worry. Everything you need will be there and more.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Thank you for sharing that with us. I will try my best to be there. If I'm in town, I will be there. But y'all heard it. Go if you are single. If you're not, wait, can people that are not single also go? Or is that
if you're single, I'm single. If somebody thinks you're their boyfriend or girlfriend, that's not single, please. Don't come and give me problems. If you're single and ready to mingle.
So please, married people, you are not invited. If you are engaged,
my
you
people,
cannot come.
My
if
people, you... stay at home. Stay at home. And me, I do investigation. I'll find out.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ebo, for coming. So sorry. But thank you so much. Thank you for coming on the podcast and sharing your story with us. And yes, y'all heard it here first. If you are single, there's this event, you don't want to miss it, by Woonmi Marketing. Hosted by Ebo. So come through.
Come through.
And yeah, thanks again, Ebo, for coming and being a part of this episode.
Thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun.